Now he says that it must shortly come to pass. And that word must has in it an urgent necessity, but an absolute certainty. It must shortly. Now this word shortly here has in it something that I think it's very important for us to note. It's a word that occurs quite a few times in the Scripture. For instance, we have it in Luke 18th chapter, verse 8. He says, I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth. Now, there's that same word, and it's translated, he'll avenge them speedily. Well, what does that mean? He means that when the vengeance begins, it's going to take place hurriedly. There'll be no waiting around for it at all. And that implies he's not coming soon. And we'll see that later. It doesn't mean that this is going to happen soon. But when these things that he's talking about begin to happen, it'll all happen speedily, shortly. It'll take place in a brief period of time. And then he says the way that this has come about. And I want you to notice that. He says that it's the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him. Now notice the steps of revelation here. It originated with God the Father, and it was given to Jesus Christ, and he gave it to his angel, and his angel gave it to his servants, that they might know what was coming to pass. So that this is the way it came down. From God the Father to the Lord Jesus Christ to the angel, from the angel to John, and from John to his servants. And that is the way it gets to you and me today. These are the steps of revelation. And I probably ought to answer this as we go along. Someone says, well, you painted yourself into a corner, preacher, because you said an angel was not connected with the church. I still say that. The angel here, I think, is a heavenly messenger. But what is John going to talk about here most of all? Future things. What Jesus is going to do in the future. And beginning with chapter 4, everything is future, and it takes place after the church leaves the world. So it's very proper here that after the church leaves that we see angels coming back into prominence. So that is true to the way the book moves. Now we have in verse 2 the method of revelation. Who bore witness of the word of God and of the testimony are the witness of Jesus Christ, even as many things as he saw. There's an emphasis that we should put here that he bore witness, and this in the Greek is epistolary aorist, which means John moves himself up to where his readers are, where you and I are today, and he looks back at what he's writing. Who bore witness of the Word of God. And the Word of God here, I think, refers to both Christ and to the contents of this book. He is the living Word, and we have the written Word. And when the written Word reveals him to us, it's the living Word. You may be sure of that. Now, we're told here that it is witness rather than testimony, and I do like that better. And it occurs 90 times in the writings of John, 50 times in his gospel, by the way. And it says that he saw. That is, he was an eyewitness. And going back to the word signify in verse 1, he signified it. He made pictures of it. This is television, friends. This is the first television program that was ever put on. And that was the one that the Lord Jesus Christ put on from heaven through his angel, through John, to you and to me today. That's the way that he wants it. And here's a television program you might do well to take a look at, because we read also here in verse 2, even as the things which he saw. In other words, John was an eyewitness of the vision here, and he not only heard, but he saw. These are the two avenues through which we get most of our information. And I sometimes wonder if maybe he didn't smell just a little, because the parts of these books, I think you could catch the odor of it also. And maybe John did that.